Well, the fact check. It used to be novelty when covering politics, but in today's world, it really is a necessity. The internet's essentially a dumping ground for newsmakers and politicians to say whatever they want and have no accountability for those words. In Illinois, we've seen this play out over and over and over, especially when it comes to our state house. It's hard to know who's right, who's wrong, or who's telling the truth. I'll give you a hint. Nobody is. Enter PolitiFact Illinois. PolitiFact is a news organization that sets up shop in several markets, and they fact-check the politicians and lawmakers. Here in this state, PolitiFact Illinois joined forces with Reboot Illinois, a site that was covering the state house. Madeline Dubick, a longtime political reporter and columnist for the Daily Herald, is at the helm of Reboot Illinois, and now PolitiFact Illinois, and she joins me tonight. Madeline, great to see you.
How are you,
It's
Justin?
Been a long time.
Yeah.
So that's the first, before we do this, it's not a merge. You guys are working together,
that's
but
right.
It's really joining forces. This was something that, you know, this is PolitiFact's in a lot of different markets
right.
already. How did this come about?
We are the 18th state, in fact, to take up the PolitiFact charge, and we are running with it and having a blast. It came about because we kind of a common connection among people. We knew that we heard they were looking for somebody. We connected with them. They were really impressed by what we were doing at mm-hmm. Reboot Illinois and the depth and analysis that was there. And so it just worked out, became a natural fit, and we are now the exclusive partner of PolitiFact in Illinois.
That's great. So let's talk about that, what that means, because you know you guys have been doing great work at Reboot Illinois. It's been a lot of stories about what's happening and issues around it. And PolitiFact, like I said, I mean, is really the art of the fact check. And this has become a real, real huge issue, especially in this campaign season.
It's absolutely becomes required reading. I like to say we're kind of the Snopes of political rhetoric. You know,
right.
You hear this stuff all the time. And you have no idea how much of it is true, if any of it is true, what parts are true and what aren't. And they just get repeated over and over again until you know, it gets drummed into your brain that you think it's fact, but it's probably not.
It blows my mind as someone who sits in this chair every night when we read the news or we talk about the stories that are happening around Chicago and Illinois. How one fact can be split into 9 different ways and be represented by 20 different people.
Absolutely.
And that seems to be politics today. You can spin job numbers, who wants to do what, taxes, backgrounds, anything to what you want your message to be.
Absolutely. And it happens all the time. And as long as there's a little bit of a thread of the truth in there somewhere and you repeat it often enough, it's like it becomes fact. And so we're trying to really hold these guys' feet to the fire, make them be accountable for what they say, remind everyone that words matter and truth matters, and, you know, fact is fact. So we've just been going at it for a couple weeks now. We've done about 10 of these. It's been a blast. It's the thing that I love about it is that it's almost like you're prosecuting mm-hmm. a statement. And so you literally take the statement and pick it apart and do the research and find the original sources, put it all together, the full context. And the process is really fascinating because then you get 3 different editors, usually at least one person from PolitiFact National, which is based in Tampa Bay, Florida. Pulitzer Prize winning PolitiFact, and you kind of have this little mini debate and decide on the rating that you give it. PolitiFact is the owner of the Truth-O-Meter. There are 6 different possible ratings.
Okay.
And so we are really finely slicing and dicing this to, you know, reach this consensus and then lay it all out for people. They can see every source that we checked and exactly when we checked because, you know, things change on campaign websites, for instance,
right.
all the time.
Well, okay, 2 things. One, okay, we've known each other even when you were at the Daily Herald. Do you feel like rhetoric and sort of stretching the truth has evolved? Has it gotten worse over years? I mean, from your time there to even your time with Reboot and to now, is it, let me put it this way, is it that politicians have either gotten worse, stayed the same or just the internet caught up? There's more platforms for it.
You know, I think it's rhetoric has always been sketchy and not always completely truthful, but I think you're right. You know, there's so much out there. The internet has caught up and it's gone crazy, and there's so many different platforms and channels and Twitter and Medium and Snapchat and so many different places where, you know, you can throw something out there and hope that it sticks. And unfortunately, a lot of times it does. I mean, think, you know, everybody out there, a time when someone forwarded something to you and you, well, my friend said this, so, right, you know, they're my true, friends, right, passing this along. Right. It's got to be true that this prince in Nigeria needs some money. And, you know, this is the political equivalent of,
right,
that.
Right.
You try to say, hold on there a minute, let's think about this.
And the other question would be about resources, because we've seen newspapers cut back and cut back and cut back, and they're not able to do this kind of, you know, in-depth fact-checking. Although we're seeing some of it come back,
yeah,
because of the absurdity of this presidential,
right,
campaign, where it's like every, I mean, now that's like, they just say, they put fact-check. It used to be breaking in,
right,
front of every tweet. Now it's fact-check. So, but you know, talk about that idea of when you were at newspapers, you know, that was one of the problems, is that you didn't have as much time, you didn't have as much resource available to do what you're doing at,
yeah,
PolitiFact.
It was funny because I've been doing this long enough to remember when it first became this idea that journalists should, you know, check television ads and get transcripts of them and figure out if everything they were saying was true. And it wasn't very long after we started doing that we very quickly realized there's no way we can possibly keep up with everything these guys are,
right,
throwing out,
right,
there.
And it's worse now.
And it's much worse now because,
every rally gets,
sadly,
yeah,
the resources to devote to this sort of thing are shrinking. The number of people assigned to politics is shrinking. The numbers of reporters in state houses covering government is shrinking. And, you know, everybody's doing the best they can with the resources they have, but it's really a challenge.
Madeline Dubek's my guest tonight, longtime political reporter and columnist. She's at the helm of Reboot Illinois and PolitiFact Illinois. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got to talk about the state fair today.
Absolutely.
Today, this is holiday time.
Talk about rhetoric.
Talk about rhetoric. The state fair today, Governor's Day down in Springfield. We'll talk about what transpired down there with Madeline Dubek. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Madeline Dubek's in studio with me. Reboot Illinois, PolitiFact Illinois. And today, tremendous day for politics. And I always liked it. It's one of the coolest events to go to. It's down in Springfield. It's either Democrat or Republicans Day and Governor's Day. And Governor's Day this year is the Republican
Nothing
Party.
Nothing better than a little fried politics at the state fair.
That's so true. Just go over there and get yourself a fried pork chop on a stick and watch everybody say machine. They say machine over and over and over. So the idea, you know, for everyone listening, and pretty much everybody knows, that the Republican Party, since they're in the mansion,
right,
they have a day where their top officials get to sort of rally around the flag kind of thing.
Everybody gets to make their speech.
Yep.
It's Governor's Day. It's on the front lawn of the director's house on the fairgrounds. Huge American flag was the backdrop,
right,
today.
Right.
Shocking, I know. but only one mention of Donald Trump, interestingly, the entire day, from, you know, a good 90 minutes to 2 hours of speeches.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating, as someone who's covered politics, to be in an election year where a party that has people that are running for a tight races for re-election won't even mention the president?
Every season
candidate.
I say I've seen it all, and every year I'm proven wrong.
Well, today was really about Illinois, and Governor Rauner really took his time to go after Speaker Madigan
today
and the Democratic machine.
Today was about Mike Madigan and the Democratic machine and the need to sweep them out of office with term limits.
term limits.
In a nutshell, that was the message.
That's it. So, I mean, this is really the rallying cry of the summer, at least this month for Governor Rauner, has been term limits. I mean, he brought it up and he's really pushed it as part of his turnaround agenda, but he softened it when everyone was in, when we were trying to get a budget. But he's really going hard on this with political ads and such on air as well.
Fix Illinois is the theme, and he's putting a lot of money behind it, and his message to his Republican precinct captains and everybody who was down there today was that we're going to have as much or more money than the Democrats for the first time in a long time. We're going to have the best ground game ever to get this message out. And, you know, fact checking the rhetoric mm-hmm. today.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's going to get a chance to vote on term limits anytime soon. The first time that that could possibly legally come up for a vote is in 2018, not November of 2016. And even then, the notion that the Democratic majority is going to vote to put that on the ballot.
So why is he doing it? I mean, so you're a political observer. You've been around for a long time. What is it about this push? Because I read that from Rich Miller, said the same thing. You know, this is all a dog and pony show. There really yeah. isn't a move in any sort of short term that is beneficial to anybody.
Well, I mean, it's a great little gimmick that you can use to kind of rally the troops. He knows that it's something that everyone wants. It polls really well. He probably thought, well, I could use redistricting because that's something that could be on the ballot. But there's also a chance that any day now, the Illinois Supreme Court is going to rule it off the ballot. Right. So this is a safe thing.
It's in the distance. It's more about there. And there is a target. And
it's
Mike Madigan, who you said they had buttons of an old, or with young Mike Madigan.
A young Mike Madigan from 1971 with, you know, like, this guy's been in office forever.
So it really is an anti-Madigan campaign.
Yes. Which they tried a couple years ago, and it didn't work very well, obviously, because Madigan technically has a super majority, but more money behind it now than the Republicans have seen in, you know,
we've seen in the city of Chicago,
12
you know,
years.
The idea, the rhetoric, the machine, you know, progressives ran against Rahm Emanuel, but the Chicago machine and this machine that they talk about is kind of died off in the sort of, you know, the way that it was constructed in the Daley regime and even the book Boss and things like that. You don't see that anymore. Is this just rhetoric in the way that they're just trying to call out that Democrats have been there for a while and we need to get rid of this crew and we'll just call a machine because it's a negative connotation?
I guess I'll take issue with that a little bit, Justin. I think that it is true that you don't see it as much, but that does not mean that it's not there. And I, you know, you still, as the old Abner Mikva saying, we don't want nobody, nobody sent. You know, you have to have those connections to get good jobs
right,
in the
right.
city of Chicago. I'm sorry, but that's just still the way
so
it
it's
works.
It's still there. It's just working under It's kind of gone shadow.
Exactly. Yeah.
and is there, I mean, does that message resonate with voters when the word machine, I mean, we're talking about fact checking and rhetoric. Does the word machine, does that automatically sort of yell corruption to a voter and why they say it over and over and over?
I think corruption would probably work a little bit better, right, more directly right. if I were doing the advising. But, you know, they haven't asked me. I think that it's very, very difficult to break through and wake people up to that sort of notion or any sort of notion about politics in Chicago and Illinois and the rest of the state right now. People are really fed up, disgusted. They've tuned out. You know, we've been through George Ryan and Rod Blagojevich and
Absolutely.
Years and
yeah,
years
right.
and years of this stuff. So it really takes a lot to kind of break through people's cynicism about all of that, especially when right now they're worried about how do I get my kid to school for the first day of school and make
right.
sure that goes smoothly, and does she have the pencils and the special backpack?
People
and
aren't paying attention to politics.
They're really
right
not.
Now. You know, and the last, I'm fascinated in the idea that the Republicans have as much money as for the first time in a long time, and you fact check that, whatever. But yeah. That has been what Bruce Rauner has brought to the Republicans is this influx of cash
and gridlock.
Exactly? But how do you see that being used come election time? Is it going to be ads like we're seeing, like the We Fix Illinois, where the actors are telling us for term limits? Is it going to be big ideological issues, or is it going to be this Democrat is terrible, vote him out?
I think that it's going to be guilt by association, and that's what you saw today. Mike Madigan is the guilty party. He's been in office too long. We need to get rid of him. And every Democrat running in a competitive district will be tied to Mike Madigan. And on the other side, tomorrow at Democrat Day at the State Fair, we will hear that... that Bruce Rauner, our governor, is as extreme as Donald Trump.
So there'll be a lot of Trump tomorrow.
Trump tomorrow. Yeah, we'll be Trumped out tomorrow.
It's a good balance. At least they're balancing it. They did one today and 150 tomorrow. You know, at least you know. They didn't. So okay, all right. Well, Donald Trump will get his due here.
He will.
Thanks to the Democrats.
The Democrats will give him his due.
Madeline Dubik, Reboot Illinois, PolitiFact Illinois. You got to come back. It's been too long. And thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
You got to come back for all the election stuff that's coming up here. So
love to.
All right. Thanks for being here.